God be the glory today on this happy Mother's Day. Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the pulpit roster this morning, Reverend and Reverend Jones. Amen. God bless you both. To Minister Don and any other ministers or officiants of the gospel who may be in the audience, and to our deacons, amen, and their lovely wives and families, to First Lady Lang, amen, and to my family. And I say a special happy Mother's Day to my mother, amen, whom we will see later today. And it's an honor and a privilege, and we're so glad to have, we know we had one of our mothers that were ill this week, Sister Stella Jones, amen. Thank God for touching her, and she's back with us today. Can't nobody do it like God can, isn't that right? Amen. I heard somebody say, if God can't do it, nobody can. But the beautiful thing about that is God will do it. He will do it. Thank you, Lord. And so it is with great pleasure that I come before you this morning on such a great day. And there is a word from the Lord, and to our worship leaders who have done such a fine job this morning, to music ministry, dance ministry, all special hats off today to our media ministry who are tasked so much at the last minute, and Sister Lamar always just come through, amen, with flying colors. Thank you for her. To all of our visitors, God bless you. So glad that you chose, as our announcing clerk has told you earlier, glad that you chose this place to be with us today. From the book of 2 Timothy. We'll read two passages of scriptures from this particular book. Chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Then we'll go to chapter 3 and also read verses 14 through 15. Are you ready, Lady Lane?
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
I'm persuaded that it's in you also. Amen.
Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, stir it up.
Stir it up.
Hallelujah. Uh-huh.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Our topic this morning, a mother's influence. A mother's influence. And we have a subtopic, a legacy continue. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We understand this morning that in order to have an influence, it means that you have an effect on the character, the development, or the behavior of someone else. You ought to can remember who has had an influence on your life. Amen. And I know I can stand here today and tell you the impact or the effect that the influence that my mother has had on my life. But the good thing about it is not only my mother, but I can recall school teachers and people in the neighborhood, mothers who looked out for somebody else's children. And it didn't matter if that woman birthed you. If she was able to help you, she would. She would look out for you. Nobody was hungry. Everybody ate. If somebody had something, everybody had a little bit. Amen. And so I can remember those things that have been had an effect on my life, even to my character, my development, and even my behavior. Now, all of you would be honest with me if you can. Now, that we knew better to do some things that we did. We knew better than to do them. But because we get caught up in situations and circumstances, we find ourselves getting away from the spiritual influence that we had in our lives. Can anybody witness to that this morning? But she did that. And also, she left a legacy. A legacy is something handed down from one generation to the next. A legacy is something that exists as a result of something that happened at an earlier time by someone else. That's a legacy. I hope to be an influence, but I can stand today and tell you that the mother of my children is being an influence on my children based on the influence that she received from her mother. And I would like to think that one day someone could write about these mothers and say that Joycelyn is in Jayden because it was in Linda and it was in Sister Workman before that. Somebody say amen right there. You know, that's the legacy we want to leave behind. You ought to determine within yourself that I'm not going to let it end right here. I'm going to keep this thing going. Yes, I've made some mistakes. I got some stuff wrong. Am I talking to any mothers today? And yeah, I didn't get it all right, but I know what's been put in me. And I'm going to keep it going. Amen. I'm trying to be correct this morning, but I sure feel like hollering real loud. Thank you, Lord. But this legacy has to continue. Today's text refers, if you look at 2 Timothy 2, to Paul's second missionary journey to Macedonia in the province of what we know today to be Greece. We find this in Acts chapter 16 because Acts is the book that talks about his journeys. The other books are the letters he wrote from his journey. Are y'all with me today? So when he wrote Acts, he had been on a journey to Greece, and that's where he met Timothy. When he went to Galatia, it was on a missionary journey, but he comes back later to write the letter. You know, sometimes we have to remind people of the things we said to them when we were in their presence. So it's okay if you have to write a letter sometime if you can't get to them. It's okay to, this is what Paul did, because oftentimes he was incarcerated for the gospel. And so he had to write letters from being in prison. And if he couldn't get it out, historians say that in one jail cell that Paul was in, that he had a servant on the outside of the jail cell, and there was a hole in the top of the jail. And I don't know, Paul really wanted to get the news out, because Paul was a man of low stature. History said he was about 5'6" tall. But Paul would somehow make his way up to the chute of that hole and get the letter out to his servant, which often was Onesimus, that would get the letter to where he wanted it to get. What is that saying to us? If you really want to get the good news out, you can get it done. Because now all you got to do is hit send. Come on, somebody. There are no excuses that we can't get the good news out. So Paul was like that in this text. He was in Greece, and it is recorded in Acts chapter 16 that Paul, by this time, that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, by this time, Paul had already met Timothy and was acquainted with his family. Amen? Because of his previous missionary journeys. And why would you say that? Well, it indicates to us that Timothy's family, in verse 5 that we read, he says, I call to remembrance. In other words, he must have previously already told them this. Amen. And he didn't tell them by letter the first time. I would surmise that he told them in person. Amen. Which would have been on his first missionary journey. Can y'all remember things that you were told in person by someone who had a good influence over you? Can you remember how some of those things you did not want to hear? Because much of the influence was don't do that. And much of the influence was if you do, I got something for you. But he came in this letter to remind Timothy and Timothy's family of the things he had told them. And this is the first thing he reminded Timothy of was his unfeigned faith. Now that word, it looks complicated, but it's really quite simple. It simply means he had a genuine, sincere faith. That's what unfeigned means, a genuine and sincere faith. In other words, it was absent of hypocrisy. Woo! Anybody got that kind of faith this morning that your faith is absent of hypocrisy? In other words, you don't have a motive for coming to church. You really just love God. I mean, you don't need anything from the church. You're not trying to get somewhere or go somewhere, but you have a faith that is absent of hypocrisy because you come just because you really love God, because you trust in him to bring you out of what you're in. And even if he don't, you still love him anyhow. I wish I had a witness here. See, that's unfeigned faith, when God continues to let you go through what you're going through, not to hurt you, but to make you better. So if God chooses not to deliver you right away, you ought to give him praise and keep on having faith, because God has a bigger plan. God never designed to hurt anybody, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if I'm going through something, it's not because he don't love me. It's just he's still teaching me. And sometimes he has to teach me longer because I'm hard headed. I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes he has to let me stay a little longer because I don't want to learn my lesson. So he had a genuine faith, absent of hypocrisy. He had pure motives. And he said, not only was this unfeigned faith, I know it's got to be in you, Timothy, because it was first in your grandmother, Lois. Paul had a relationship with these people. Now, because if you don't have a relationship with people, you don't call them by their first name. Huh? So he was close to these people, and he said, I know it was in your grandmother, Lois. Now, let me eisegete right here. And you know, I'm not going to exegete because I'd have to say exactly what the Bible says. But if I eisegete, I can use my own opinion. Anybody in here right now? So it is my opinion that Paul was able to call her Lois because on his first missionary journey, that's when he met her and she accepted Christ. So Paul was able to identify with this by saying, I know it's in your grandma. The reason I know it, because she came to a revival one night. And her heart got right. And so I know it's in her. And he says, not only is it in your grandmother, but Paul says she had a spiritual influence over her child. So now Lois has a child by the name of Eunice. So this mother used her spiritual influence to impact her child, because she did not want her child to go through the things she went through. Am I talking to any mothers in here today? You don't want your child to go through some of the things you went through, make the mistakes you made. And so you use your influence to say, child, let me tell you, you don't want to go down that road. Well, mama, I don't understand why. I know you don't understand why. But you don't want to go down that road. And so she used that influence over her child, who was named Eunice. So the thing took hold in Eunice. Because Eunice got grown and got of age, and she had a child. And this child's name was Timothy. The Greeks call him Timotheus. So this young man, and he was a young man, Paul, something about him struck Paul's attention. And he looked at Timothy and he said, Timothy, hold on to what your mama put in you. Woo, hallelujah. I know Timothy is in you because it was in your grandma. And I imagine Timothy looked at him and said, how did you know my grandma? And if it's in your grandma, it was in your mama, and he said, I am sure that it is in thee also. Mothers, you ought to look around and say, I know what I put in you. You better hold on to it. The influence that those sisters had when you came to church. Y'all remember when you came to church back in the day, them sisters had influence. Huh? No, you weren't going to eat candy and chew gum. You weren't going to write notes, and you weren't going to leave paper in the pew and paper on the floor. Help me, somebody. You were not going to talk during church. If you were talking, you better be witnessing. Now we talk in text. I ain't mad if you're gonna Facebook Live, and you know the word. But we be under the wrong influence. Help me today, y'all. Y'all, see, you got to get the right kind of influence. The one that your mama put in you, the one that you didn't want to hear. When you get that right influence, you'll want to go down the right road. You won't be texting your boo while you in church. Because where in the world is he? Why are you texting him at home and you in church? Now, I don't know where that one come from. I'll just let you have it. Lord, have mercy. You got to wonder, is he going to be back in time with your car? What am I doing this morning? I'm talking to some real mothers. I'm trying to transform you to let you get rid of that. You in here blessing God and he blessing Sally. I'm trying to see what you need to do to be a real mother. You. So I just rather come on to church by myself and give God praise and put the legacy in my children until God bring me somebody who done had a legacy put in them so that I don't have to worry about where they're going and who they with and what they doing with them. Some mother ought to look at another mother and say, be a mother first, forget about him. Because the truth is, he done already forgot about you. He just need what you got. Amen. Why should he get a job when you paying his bill? Why should he get a job when he driving out your gas? What am I doing today? Why do he need to get a place to stay when he's shacking with you? Oh, no, not shacking, cohabitating. And I don't understand when they get mad at you, they got somewhere to go. How come they ain't been there all the time? Y'all, men, just hold on. It'll be your day next month, and then they will. And the women will have to hear what y'all hearing. Thank you, Jesus. But when that influence is in you, when you look at that phone and won't answer because you know the mother influence finna tell you what you don't want to hear. Help me, Holy Ghost, today. Because you already in what she told you not to get into. So when you don't answer the phone, that's her answer. So you can save the lie and the excuse and say, Mama, I'm sorry. Boy, is this preaching or what? But that mother's influence, that grandma's influence, you know, you can't understand how she reads your mail. It ain't that she's so smart. Baby, it's because she already been there and done that. I know they didn't have the technology that we got today, but they were still... See, you know, you up to date, you know, with the latest, but they had to get down there with Johnny Taylor and B.B. King and all that, but they were saying the same thing with a different beat. Johnny tried to tell them, David, it's cheaper to keep it. They didn't want to listen. And then when he got by himself, Sally didn't want it no more. Because the only reason she really wanted you because somebody else had you. And it was a game to her. You thought you was all that, baby. They was laughing at you. Just come every Friday. Drop it off every Friday. I'll let you think what you want to think. Hallelujah. But the motherly influence. She raised Timothy in an environment which she was in Greece that was not popular to Christianity. And I'm trying to tell you, mothers, if you are not in the best situation, your children don't have to be a product of their environment. If you got to live in the hood, that's all right. You praise God in the hood. But you raise your children in the church. You don't have to be in a penthouse to raise good kids. When you give them an influence, they'll understand that smoking weed is not good. I didn't say it to send you to hell, but it's eating up the few brain cells you got, and some of them don't work too good. So she decided to raise this child in an environment that wasn't popular. Let me show you how unpopular this environment was. During the persecution of the Jews, many of them left Jerusalem because of the persecution, and they wind up somewhere everywhere. So not only in Greece were there Greeks, but there were also Jews. And so Jews were mingling with the Greeks. And in fact, Eunice married a Greek. And the Bible doesn't say anything about him other than she married him. So let me help some old mamas who married the wrong man. It's all right. Woo, these men say, I'll be glad when Father's Day get here. Just keep on loving him and raise your kids. Huh? You can't get no divorce because you did it. Help me, Holy Ghost. You knew you were saved when you went to the club and started dating him. You knew you loved God. Ooh, they going, Lord have mercy. So now why you want to get rid of him? You were saved at the club. You were saved when you gave him your phone number. You were saved when you laid down with him. You were saved when you said, I do. And you knew he was not. So just go ahead and keep him and raise your kids. Where your daddy? I don't know, honey, but let's go to church.
Oh, Lord, please help me to get through this today. Mama, is that daddy's car over Mason's house? I look, kind of look like it, babe, but I believe that's somebody else's car. Come on, let's go to school. And come on, say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, help me like to kill this Negro. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Please let your will be done before mine be done. But she kept raising him. In fact, the environment was so bad in this region, in this province, that Paul, on his second missionary journey, and after he had met Eunice and Lois and Timothy, they went to church and he began to preach the gospel to those people who were being converted. They were called proselytes, even if they were a Greek. But the Jews, what can y'all help me and tell me what's wrong with church folk? Paul is there converting these Greeks to Christianity. And the Jews who had migrated there got mad at Paul. Can I tell y'all, it ain't much different now that when new folk come into church, they're going to catch hell from folk who've been there. Child, I said this at a revival or something. Child, do you see how short her dress is? You better watch your man. And I gave him the answer, Reverend. I said, you ain't got to watch your man if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Somebody shout right there. Now it's real quiet. What am I supposed to be doing? Raising your kids, raising your kids. But they got mad at Paul because these other people are now coming into the church and they are on fire for God. They are so much on fire for God. Timothy was so much on fire for God that when Paul told him, stir up the gift that's in you, the literal meaning of the word gift, charismata, means a fire have been set inside of you. So the new people had fires set inside of them, and the old folks in church like me were sitting there sanctified and satisfied, but them people were running, jumping, and shouting because they had been born again. And so now, because of this charismata set on fire spirit that had taken control of the Greeks, now those who were Jews are getting upset. Huh? They are getting upset. And they told Paul, say, look here, Paul, we've been at this church for, we were the first one here. We knew Jesus before we came from Jerusalem. So why are you bringing all these folks in here trying to put them in office and them folks don't know nothing? Am I talking to any New Testament churches? Now let me clear that up. You don't take folks off the street and put them in office. That ain't what I'm saying. But you don't stop them from praising God. And when and let me help you right there. When people are on fire for God, they grow much faster than people who are satisfied. So when they growing 2 to 1, and now they in office, who fault is it? They said, Paul, I'm closing now. I thought I was going to be able to use my nose today. They said, Paul, you don't stop preaching this and you messing up our churches with all these new folks. I can't understand that. Y'all help me. They were new because they had an influence. They were new because something had been passed down to them. They were new because they want to keep the legacy going. They were new because what they had experienced, Timothy was on fire because his mama put something in him that his grandma had put in her. He said, I can't let this thing die. No. Come on, somebody. Andre, you can't let Bell Mosbavi die, son. No. You got to keep it going. Yes, Stephanie, you can't let Velma die. You got to keep it going. She put it in you. I know she did. And the reason I know she put it in both of y'all, because when y'all get out of character, it's obvious. But when folks ain't never had nothing put in them and they get out of character, you can't tell. But when folks done been raised right and they get out of character, you can tell it. So you got to keep that thing going. I know I done been out of character. Because Alice put in me what Estella put in her. Huh? My grandma was a strong woman of God. And my mama wasn't as strong as her. And I ain't as strong as my mama. But I'm going to keep the legacy going. Because I got some stuff I'm still dealing with. My mama don't nothing bother her. I wish I had a witness here. But I'm going to keep the legacy going. Come on, who's going to keep the legacy going? Wait a minute, I was telling you a story, wasn't it? They told Paul, stop preaching. Stop doing that. Because we losing our spot, our place in church now. Because you got all these on fire people coming in here. And I'm tired. I've been in church a long time. I want to sit down. But here come these folks that's on fire. And the reason they on fire is because something done been passed down to them. They told Paul, said, stop it and stop it now. Well, by that time, here come Timothy. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Wait a minute, Timothy, you just got in the church. And you mean to tell me, Paul, that you gonna make him the pastor? Y'all do know that's what he did, right? Wait, Paul. I've been, my granddaddy founded this church. And you mean to tell me you fixed to put Timothy with his young, wet behind the ear, behind self, over the church? Timothy said, yeah, you're right. Well, why are you going to do that? Because he got something in it. He got an unfeigned faith that was first in his grandmother, and now it was in his mother, and now it's in him. And I am persuaded that he's going to stay with it and keep the legacy alive. They say, okay, Paul, we told you to stop. So when Paul was coming out of the church, out of the city, on his way to Lystra, they were waiting beside the road. Anybody ever been ambushed? I'm talking about in your unsaved days. You know, anybody was ever waiting on you? Anybody ever got blindsided? Oh, you know what they say? Anybody got stole before? So they were waiting on Paul, and they had some great big old rocks. And when Paul stepped out of the gate of the city, they knew they couldn't do it in town because that was against the law. Well, my Bible theologian, you had to get outside of the city limits in order to stone somebody. So when he got out of the gate, they were waiting on him with them rocks, and they began to hit Paul. And they began to stone Paul. Didn't we tell you to stop preaching? You done messed up our church. We don't want that young preacher. And they stoned him and stoned him and stoned him so much that the brothers who was around him picked him up and took him away from them and laid him on the ground, and they thought he was dead. Somebody say, when you got a good influence, Satan can't kill you. Woo. And while he was laying there, the Bible say he sprung up and walked to the next city. Blood running down his head. Bruises on his body. But an influence was on the inside. That I gotta go ahead and preach the gospel. Is there anybody here this morning that been beat up and bruised and tore up? But But you got something down on the inside that won't let you quit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he went on to the next city preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because something was on the inside that his mama and grandma put in him. I stopped by this morning to tell somebody, stay with what been put on the inside. Trials may come, trouble may be on every side, but stay with God. Yeah.